RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News, and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. Well, listener, that was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Singapore are extraordinary. Indonesian government and labor attaché give information on labor market. Now the news in detail. The Indonesian government is to intensify its labor programs next year in 100 regions and cities in its effort to boost job creation. That was reported by Kontan.com on Monday, November 6. The program will be undertaken by a number of ministries, including Indonesian Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration Ministry, Indonesian Public Works and Public Housing Ministry, and Indonesian Transportation Ministry. Indonesian Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration Minister Eko Putro Sanjoyo has said that 30% of the ministry's 63 trillion rupiah budget would be allocated for its labor intensification program, which was expected to create 5.7 million jobs. Meanwhile, Indonesian Public Works and Housing Ministry will disburse 11.2 trillion rupiah to create an estimated 236,656 jobs. Indonesian Public Works and Public Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono said that each worker will receive 3,314 million rupiah per month, which will be paid weekly or monthly, was quoted by Kontan.co.id on Monday. Meanwhile, Indonesian Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi said his ministry would allocate 7% of its 48 trillion rupiah budget for the labor intensification program. Most new workers would be employed in the airport construction and expansion projects. The diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Singapore that have existed for 50 years is a form of majority relationship between the two countries. Both countries have managed to overcome various problems and face differences that existed all along. This was conveyed by the Director General for Asia-Pacific and Africa Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Desra Percaya, in his speech at the 50th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Singapore, or Rising 50, in Jakarta over the weekend.
The 50th anniversary of Indonesia and Singapore diplomatic relations. In life, 50th anniversary uninterrupted relations is extraordinary. This demonstrated the level of maturity between Indonesia and Singapore. There will always be issues, but certainly, despite many issues and challenges, both sides can always manage the differences wisely.
Desra expressed hope that the diplomatic ties between Indonesia and Singapore can continue to be established and developed or more advanced along with the times. It is certainly strongly supported by the location of the two countries adjacent to each other. Indonesian Ministry of Manpower is convinced that the law of protection for migrant workers could improve the management of labor immigration in Indonesia comprehensively. One of the points of the law is the strengthening of local administrations and the Indonesian labor attaches abroad. The Secretary General of the Ministry of Manpower, Hari Sudarmanto, on the sidelines of the event Panggung Nusantara in Kuala Lumpur on Sunday said, according to the law, the local and provincial administrations cooperate with the Indonesian labor attaches to give information on labor market abroad.
Informasi pasar kerja nanti dari luar negeri, yaitu melalui
information on job vacancies abroad will be disseminated by labor market information of labor attaches. The job orders would be spread in villages and districts. The job seekers would find, for example, what Malaysia needs. They could also choose the jobs according to their potentials. The Indonesian migrant workers would know exactly what Malaysia needs, so there would not be more illegal labor brokers.
Hari Sudarmanto also said, service and labor are very important because the two sectors are the sixth biggest source of state revenues after CPO, tourism, oil and gas, coal and textiles. The harmony of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Singapore can be interpreted and reflected by a Singaporean song entitled Together. This was conveyed by the Director General for Asia Pacific and Africa Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Desra Percaya, in his speech at the 50th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Singapore, or Rising 50, in Jakarta over the weekend.
A lyrics from a Singaporean song called Together. Let us be together, aspire to achieve, no matter what, no matter when, working hand in hand. Let us go the distance, reach for goals and shine, creating our future with everyone in mind. It's very beautiful.
The song Together was one of the songs played in a music concert in the 50th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Singapore. The song was played by a collaboration between the ensemble band from Singapore, Tang Quartet, and pianist from Bandung, West Java, Irene Everin. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia will host the 23rd Small Engine Technology Conference from November 15 to 17 at the Jakarta Convention Center, which will involve 400 local and international participants and help upgrade knowledge on the latest small engine technology. The conference will discuss submitted electronic abstracts from prospective researchers and engineers specializing in 1,400cc engines or machines, including those used in motorcycles. Conference team chairman Gunadi Sinduwinata recently said that the team want local engineers to really use this as a chance to broaden their horizons and build networks with engineers and experts worldwide. The conference is jointly organized by the Society of Automotive Engineers of Japan and the Society of Automotive Engineers International with the support of the Society of Automotive Engineers Indonesia and Japan's Land and Gene Manufacturers Association. Activities during the event will include technical visits to motorcycle plants, a plenary session, award presentations to local engineers or experts, an exhibition and poster session. It will be opened by Indonesian Research, Technology and Higher Education Minister Muhammad Nasir and closed by Indonesian Industry Minister Erlangga Hartarto. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has invited 4,000 supporters and volunteers to the wedding of his daughter, Kahiyang Ayu, which will take place on Wednesday, November 8 in Surakarta, Central Java. Eko Sulistyo, coordinator of President Jokowi's volunteers and supporters, recently said that the president, in his special message, has asked the volunteers to maintain order during the wedding procession. The organizing committee has provided accommodation in the Solo Hutch dormitory, but half of them are likely to stay in their relatives' homes or hotels at their own expenses, according to Sulistyo. The volunteers and supporters who had worked hard for the victory of President Joko Widodo during the last presidential election campaign is to arrive in Solo beginning Monday, November 6. They desired to come early to pray for the success of the wedding ceremony, Eko Sulistyo, deputy four in charge of political communication and information dissemination of the presidential staff office, said. President Joko Widodo's volunteers and supporters who live on Sumatra Island will be invited to a wedding reception to be hosted by the groom's family in Medan, North Sumatra. The last item. The first batch of Singaporean tourists who signed up for the special promotional tour package by the Tourism Ministry and North Sumatra Provincial Administration had finally arrived in Lake Toba. Lake Toba Authority Board Director Ari Prasetyo said that these tourists are participants of Lake Toba promotional tour packages by Tourism Ministry, North Sumatra Provincial Administration, 8 regencies in Lake Toba, locals and industry players in Lake Toba. The group stayed for 4 days and 3 nights, trekking the waterfall, joined fruit picking and witnessing Gorga engraving demo. The event was hosted by Toba Samosir Regional Administration and North Sumatra Provincial Administration. The Kuala Namu International Airport itself welcomed its first international flight by Garuda Indonesia from Singapore on October 28. To commemorate this occasion, 10 special promotional tour packages were offered for Singaporean tourists to travel to Lake Toba. Moreover, the ministry that also seeks to attract Malaysian and Chinese tourists is offering incentives for airlines that open a new route from China to Silangit International Airport. China is considered a big market for the ministry, as the country has up to 120 million of outbound travelers. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Singapore are extraordinary. Indonesian government and labor attaché give information and labor market. That was the news.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you in our program commentary. The title of today's commentary is Validation of Telecommunication Customer Data. Starting October 31, 2017, the Indonesian government, through the Minister of Communication and Informatics, requires the subscribers of subscriber identification module, SIM card, or mobile phone to register by attaching the identity number and family card number. The registration policy is stipulated through the regulation of the Minister of Communication and Information Technology, No. 14/2017. The main target is prepaid subscribers because all postpaid subscribers had been registered. There are consequences if the customers are not registered until February 28, 2018. The all user SIM card will be gradually blocked. Functions such as calling, texting, and the internet will slowly be paralyzed. In addition, each user can only register or re-register a maximum of 3 numbers, either with the same or different service providers. Actually, why does the Indonesian government enforce SIM card registration policy to mobile phone subscribers? Based on the press release of the Ministry of Communication and Information Technology, the registration needs to be done in order to provide protection to consumers related to the misuse mobile numbers by irresponsible parties such as frauds and hoaxes. The Indonesian government policy should be supported by the people and the business people. The use of a population identification number and the family card number to register the SIM card will not only narrow the space for cybercrime and the spread of hoax, but also prevent terrorism. So far, terrorists have often operated by taking advantage of the lost identity checks during the initial registration of the SIM card. Based on these policies, cyber criminals, hoax propagators, and terrorists can be easily monitored. Through the National Single Identity, the cellular operator system is connected with the population and civil registry database. The identity of the prepaid card owner will be directly related to demographic data. It is expected that the validation of telecommunications subscriber data through SIM card registration can reduce the level of cybercrime and terrorism as well as positively affect the national economy. So it will facilitate the transaction process such as in banking and the distribution of aid assistance for the poor. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listeners. Nice to be with you again in our program Today in History. On 6th of November 1903, Durong Phan Minh took over the Vietnamese government after a few days President Ngoc Dinh Diem was music. Durong Phan Minh, or well known as a Minh Besar, led soldier of South Vietnam under the Prime Minister Ngoc Dinh Diem. On 6th of November 1963, he was the leader of South Vietnam after a coup d'etat when Diem was murdered. Duan's leadership only lasted for 2 months. Shortly, he came back to become the leader of South Vietnam with his surrender Vietnam to communist power. Duan has tall body around 1.83 centimeters and weight 91 kilograms. This made all Vietnam soldiers much smaller than him, and it also made difference between him and other military generals of South Vietnam. We switch to another topic. On 6th of November 1908, Chut Nha Dinh passed away in Sumedang. Chut Nha Dinh is one of national heroes of Indonesia from Aceh who fought against the Dutch in Aceh's war. After Sikh Mungkin's region was attacked, she evacuated. Her husband Ibrahim Lamga fought against the Dutch and he was killed because he had fought English Tarrant on 29th of June 1878. This made Chut Nha Dinh be angry and she fought to destroy the Dutch. Tauk Umar is one of the figures who against the Dutch and proposing marriage to Chut Nha Dinh. Chut Nha Dinh has to deny the proposal when Tauk Umar participated in the war between Indonesia and the Dutch. Finally, Chut Nha Dinh approved the proposal and married him in 1880. After she got married with Tauk Umar, they fought together against the Dutch. Tauk Umar passed away when attacked Labu on 11 February 1899. Afterwards, Chut Nha Dinh fought with her small troops in rural Malabu. At the time, Chut Nha Dinh was old enough and suffered from backache and short-sighted, so her troops Panglot felt pity for her condition. Finally, she was arrested and taken to Banda Aceh. In Aceh, she was hospitalized and then she recovered. Chut Nha Dinh's presence made Aceh's people be more passionate to fight against the Dutch. She still had relations with other fighters of Aceh who had been arrested. Consequently, Dinh was thrown to Sumedang. She passed away on 6th of November 1908 and was buried in Mountain Puyuh in Sumedang, West Java. Well, listener, the last event that happened on 6th of November 1925 is that Khai Dinh, Vietnam's emperor, died. Khai Dinh, who was born in Nguyen Dinh, Phut Bua Dao, Vietnam on 8th October 1885, is one of the emperors of Nguyen Dinh Dynasty 12 in Vietnam. He is the son of Don Kant. On 6th of November 1925, he died because of illness. Well, listener, that was Today in History for today from Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Focus. The theme of today's focus is Indonesia's ready to face vulnerable trade war with Europe. The Indonesian government is ready to face the trade war launched by European countries such as negative campaign against the Indonesian palm oil. Indonesian Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita at the Indonesian Palm Oil Conference Expo 2017 in Nusa Dua, Bali on last Friday, November 3, 2017, as released by Antara News Agency, said that so far the negative issues of crude palm oil CPO is an unhealthy competition among vegetable oil producers. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita perceived that Indonesia does not object to the various terms and conditions set by the European Union on Indonesian palm oil products that enter their market. Nevertheless, the Indonesian government considers that the provisions are discriminatory since they are only applied to palm products, while other vegetable oils from European countries are not subject to them. Palm oil is a plantation commodity that uses the least amount of land and the greenest one compared to other vegetable oils like sunflower or rapeseed cultivated in Europe. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita also explained that even in terms of health, the accusation that palm oil has a negative impact so far is not scientifically proven, in contrast to oil from animal products. It is similar with the allegation of the use of child labor and the welfare of farmers. The cause of land and forest fire is not proven because palm industry is very obedient to meet the set rules. So the ongoing issue of the palm oil industry is part of trade war and competition. Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita admitted that so far all state orders of palm oil industry in the country, both government and business actors, have just tried to survive against trade attacks launched by Europe through a negative campaign on palm oil industry. Therefore, he asks all stakeholders of the palm oil industry in Indonesia to jointly face the negative issues that are always exposed by them. Related to the real step that will be done by the government in facing the attack on the national oil industry by Europe, Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita insists that Indonesia is ready to stop the import of milk powder from Europe, which is also considered to interfere with the production of domestic dairy farmers. In addition, he added that Indonesia could stop exporting palm oil to Europe within a month. That will surely have an impact on their entire lives, especially during winter. While for the opening of a new market of palm oil outside Europe, Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita said that the government is ready to do so. On the other hand, Coordinating Minister for Economy Darmi Nasution said that the palm oil industry plays a major role in alleviating poverty in Indonesia. A total of 14 million families rely on the oil palm industry. In 2016, palm oil and its derivative products accounted for export value of $70.8 billion, or about 240 trillion rupiah, up 8% from the previous year. In the Indonesian Palm Oil Conference at Bali Nusa Dua Conference Center, Bali Minister Darmi Nasution explained that palm oil industry is different from other plantation industries. It has a mechanism of cooperation between large companies and farmers to obtain seed of palm. Nevertheless, he considered the palm oil industry still has problems. One of them is about the land. The government has come to a solution by rejuvenating the land or by replanting the palm oil plantations. He hopes that the port will increase the production of palm oil. In addition, the government needs to strengthen and accelerate the implementation of the Indonesian sustainable palm oil system, which becomes the palm oil standard of Indonesia. Thus, Indonesia is increasingly upright against the dynamics and problems in international world. Well, listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. The Indonesian government is to intensify its labor programs next year in 100 regions and cities in its effort to boost job creation. That was reported by Kontan.com on Monday, November 6. The program will be undertaken by a number of ministries, including Indonesian Villages, Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration Ministry, Indonesian Public Works and Public Housing Ministry, and Indonesian Transportation Ministry. The diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Singapore that have existed for 50 years is a form of maturity relationship between the two countries. Both countries have managed to overcome various problems and face differences that existed all along. Indonesian Ministry of Manpower is convinced that the law of protection for migrant workers could improve the management of labor migration in Indonesia comprehensively. One of the points of the law is the strengthening of local administrations and the Indonesian labor attaches abroad. The harmony of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Singapore can be interpreted and reflected by a Singaporean song entitled Together. This was conveyed by the Director General for Asia Pacific and Africa, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Desra Percaya, in a speech at the 50th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Indonesia and Singapore, or Rising 50, in Jakarta over the weekend. Indonesia will host the 23rd Small Engine Technology Conference from November 15 to 17 at the Jakarta Convention Center, which will involve 400 local and international participants and help upgrade knowledge on the latest small engine technology. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has invited 4,000 supporters and volunteers to the wedding of his daughter, Kahiyang Ayu, which will take place on Wednesday, November 8 in Surakarta, Central Java. The first batch of Singapore tourists who signed up for the special promotional tour package by the Tourism Ministry and North Sumatra Provincial Administration had finally arrived in Lake Toba. Lake Toba Authority Board Director Ari Prasetyo said that these tourists are participants of Lake Toba promotional tour packages by Tourism Ministry, North Sumatra Provincial Administration, 8 regencies in Lake Toba, locals and industry players in Lake Toba. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line through Voice of Indonesia PO Box 1157 Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Drini Beach in Yogyakarta. Listeners, Gunung Kidul is one of regencies in Yogyakarta. Due to the direct border with the Indian Ocean in the south, Gunung Kidul is endowed with a beautiful beach line. One of them is Drini Beach. The beach has beautiful white sand, sound of waves, and also blue sea water. Many tourists who come to the beach enjoy beautiful sunset. Listeners, Drini Beach is located at Ngesti Rejo Village, Tanjung Sari Sub District in Gunung Kidul Regency, Yogyakarta. Its distance is around 60 kilometers or around 2 to 3 hours from Yogyakarta by motor vehicles. During the trip, visitors will be presented beautiful scenery of coral hills. Arriving at the gateway, visitors must walk around 400 meters to the beach. The entrance ticket is not expensive. You just pay 10,000 rupiah at the beach. There are gazebos and several stalls which serve various kinds of seafood that can arouse appetite. Listeners, the attraction of Drini Beach is on a big coral, which is located at the middle of the beach and divides the beach to become two sides, namely western and eastern side. The coral is like small island which is floated at the middle of the beach. People say that on the island it is overgrown with some tiki trees, or local people mention it Drini. That's why the beach is called Drini. If the sea is on low tide, you can go to the island. On the island, there is a lighthouse where you can see amazing scenery from the tower of the lighthouse. From the tower, you can clearly see seaweed among coral reef and marine biota. A coral island divides Drini Beach to become the opposite character. Eastern side is calm and the western side is pierced. At the eastern side, you will see a high cliff which is combined with solid rocks, making the beach be protected from the ferocity of the wave. If the beach is on low tide, you can see small fish. If you walk far from the beach, you have to be careful with sharp corals. At the western side, it is also interesting. Its flat area makes this side very comfortable to play water. Here, many people swim and enjoy the fresh sea water. At the beach, there are fishermen's boats which are ready to wade through the fierce wave of the Indian Ocean. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is merayakan ulang tahun, or in English, celebrating birthday. Stay tuned. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Merayakan. Merayakan in English, to celebrate. Ulang tahun. Ulang tahun. In English, birthday. Besok. Besok in English, tomorrow. Senang. Senang in English, be happy. Ingat. Ingat in English, to remember. Bersama-sama. Bersama-sama in English, together. Teman. Teman in English, friend. Keluarga. Keluarga in English, family. Mengundang. Mengundang in English, to invite. Banyak. Banyak in English, many or a lot. Beberapa. Beberapa in English, a few or some. Mulai. Mulai in English, to begin. Jam 7 malam. Jam 7 malam in English, 7 p.m. Datang. Datang in English, to come. Rumah. Rumah in English, home or house. Membawa. Membawa in English, to bring. Kue ulang tahun. Kue ulang tahun in English, birthday cake. Next listener is a conversation about merayakan ulang tahun or in English, celebrating birthday. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Nita and Nova. Hey Nita, besok bukankah hari ulang tahun kamu? Besok bukankah hari ulang tahun kamu? In English, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow is your birthday. Nova, betul. Betul. In English, that's right. Senang sekali kamu ingat ulang tahun saya. Senang sekali kamu ingat ulang tahun saya. In English, I'm happy you all remember my birthday. Nita, bagaimana kamu merayakan ulang tahun kamu? Bagaimana kamu merayakan ulang tahun kamu? In English, how to celebrate your birthday? Nova, saya mau merayakan bersama-sama dengan teman dan keluarga. Saya mau merayakan bersama-sama dengan teman dan keluarga. In English, I want to celebrate it along with my friends and family. Nita, apakah kamu mengundang banyak teman? Apakah kamu mengundang banyak teman? In English, do you invite a lot of friends? Nova, saya hanya mengundang beberapa teman baik. Saya hanya mengundang beberapa teman baik. In English, I only invite some of my close friends. Nita, jam berapa pesta ulang tahun kamu dimulai? Jam berapa pesta ulang tahun kamu dimulai? In English, at what time the party will begin? Nova, jam 7 malam. Jam 7 malam. In English, at 7 p.m. Nita, baiklah, besok saya akan datang ke rumah kamu. Baiklah, besok saya akan datang ke rumah kamu. In English, alright, I will come to your house tomorrow. Saya akan membawa kue ulang tahun. Saya akan membawa kue ulang tahun. In English, I will bring a birthday cake. Nova, terima kasih atas perhatian kamu. Terima kasih atas perhatian kamu. In English, thank you for your attention. Nita, sampai jumpa besok. Sampai jumpa besok. In English, see you tomorrow. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with other topics, sampai jumpa. Music Corner.
presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from The Voice of Indonesia. Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. Well, in today's edition, we will present you to some krancong songs by Indonesian female singer Dewi Yul. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Kini Baru Kau Rasa by Dewi Yul. Enjoy the song.
Hanya sang di warang The song kini baru kau rasa is a song composed by Amin Ifos, sung by Dewi Yul in a pop genre in 1993. The singer, who has the original name Raden Ayu Dewi Pujiati, is known as a pop singer and movie player. The song tells the story of someone's regret who lost the love. The song Kini Baru Kau Rasa is quite popular among music lovers in Indonesia. In 2010, the song was dedicated by Dewi Yul in Kroncong Music. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song by Dewi Yul entitled Jembatan Merah. The song Jembatan Merah is a pure Kroncong song composed by Indonesian maestro Kroncong Kesang. The song was popularized by the Kroncong singer Sundari Sukoco. Dewi Yul's career in singing began when she joined the national singing contest in 1977. At that time, Dewi grabbed the fourth position under Hetikus Endang, Melky Goeslaw, Diana Nasution, and Ira Puspita. But she just released her first album entitled Kau Bukan Dirimu in 1994. The woman who is descendant of Cirebon Kingdom has also starred a number of films and soap operas, such as the series of Lost Men, Kembang Kertas, and Penyesalan Seumur Hidup. Well, listener, to conclude the segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Angin Malam and December Kelabu by Dewi Yul. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
dan terjang, hati berdebar. Ku teringat bayangan impian di malam itu, malam yang kelabu kau ucapkan kata selamat tinggal.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.